There is a river that flows from my throne. It is a river that brings life, blessing, and refreshing. It is a river for you to jump in, to drink from, to splash around in. So come to the river, the giver of the river, ha ha ha. For the giver of the river is here, with his arms open wide, to touch, to bless, to help you pass every test. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, can you say amen that the giver of the river is here? I mean, if we're going to get excited, we might as well get excited about Jesus. Jesus, our friend, our brother, our King, our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. It's Wednesday night. I love Wednesday night refreshing. Just want to let our young people know that our Air Force will meet on Tuesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. Had a good group of teenagers last time, and sure they'll have another good group this time. And if you take notice over there by our cove in front of the kitchen, there's a sub sale going on. You say, well, I don't eat subs. Well, it's for missions. So if you don't like a sub, buy it for someone else. Amen? And that's going to help a missions trip to Guyana. So I encourage you to participate in that. Praise the Lord. I think that's all the announcements. Y'all ready for the word tonight? How many came hungry? It's the hungry ones that get fed, right? You ladies that like to cook, you like when someone comes hungry, right? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Tonight we're going to have an impartation service. Say, what's that? Well, I believe God wants to impart something to us tonight. Amen? He just dropped that word in my heart earlier this week. And let's look at Romans. We'll look at chapter 1, verse 11, then we're going to go back up to verse 4. But Romans 1, 11 says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. So that's interesting right there. The reason that God wants to impart spiritual gift to us is to help us to be established, to be strengthened, to be comforted, to be lifted up. Okay? And it's a good night for an impartation. And let's go back up to verse 4, Romans 1, 4. It says, he's talking about Jesus here, and it says, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. I want you to notice that phrase, with power. Did you know that everything that God does is associated with power? I mean, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? Yes, I believe that when God spoke, bang, it happened. In other words, when he spoke, there was like an explosion because it made things happen, right? And Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Did you know that we have a powerful God? And he likes to share his power with us. And the Apostle Paul said, don't put your faith in eloquent words, but put your faith in the power of God. How many know that you can put your faith in the power of God? The power of God gets good results. Okay? So, Paul, he said he's declared to be the Son of God with power. Well, I wrote some things down about some of his power. Okay? You can just write this reference down. Matthew 9, 6, he has pardoning power. Did you know that he has the power to pardon you? It's talking about the healer in the house when the house was crowded and they had to let the guy down from the roof. And Jesus said, did you not know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? He's got pardoning power. He can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has the ability to pardon us. That is a legal declaration that you are absolved from any things against you. Right? You know, when a prisoner is pardoned, they're restored to citizenship. They have a clean record. I met a guy who was pardoned. His name was Randy Greer. He escaped 3 maximum security prisons. And the third one, he had to jump out a window 2 stories high, and he had to miss the fence. And in the process of landing, he broke his ankle. And he was hobbling away, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go turn yourself in. He said, what? I don't know if he said that, but he listened to God. He had just gotten born again recently, and he went back, turned himself in. And they had a revival in that prison. He got the biggest, baddest guy in that prison saved, and they had revival services in that prison. And when he left that prison, he got a full pardon. But God has pardoning power, the power to forgive. He has the power to cleanse you. Matthew 28:18, he has infinite power. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And he said, go. He takes all of his power in heaven and earth, and he commissions us to go in his name. We have delegated authority. He has all authority. How much authority? How much power? You know, he's not called the Almighty for nothing. The Almighty means all powerful. How powerful? All powerful. See, what we can't do ourselves, the power of God can do in us. Amen? Lazarus couldn't bring himself back from the dead, but the power of God could. Okay? Now, these are just a few. This is not a conclusive list. Mark 1:27. He has the power over unclean spirits. He said to the unclean spirit, he has the power to cast them out. How do you know if someone has an unclean spirit? They're unclean. Did you know that having an unclean spirit will make a person unclean? The man who hung out in the tombs, he was possessed with lots of them. But he has the power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to shut them up, to stop their work in our lives. Amen? He's declared the Son of God with power. And he likes to share that power. And tonight, he's going to show his power in our lives. Mark 1:41, he has cleansing power. He can cleanse leprosy from your life. Now, leprosy is a form of sin. It's a type of sin, It's a type of sin. But he has the ability to cleanse. The leper came to him and he said, "Will you? I know that you can, but will you do it for me?" And Jesus' response was, "I will be cleansed." And that leper was cleansed from leprosy with just one word from God, one word from Jesus. When that leprosy heard that word, it said, "I'm out of here." Leprosy loosed its grip on his body. His body was cleansed from that disease completely. Because he is willing. Say, God is willing. God wants you healed. Say, God wants me healed. Say, God wants me whole. Spirit, body, and soul. He doesn't want any area of your life to be broken. And he can fix it all. Amen? Another thing, Mark 13:26, he has ruling power. He will return with power and glory back to this earth. He has ruling power. He has the ability to reign, to take dominion. Who does this earth belong to? The earth is the Lord's. Isn't it all? The earth is the Lord's. It's not ours, it's the Lord's. Isn't it awesome? When you look at what God created for you and I. Look at this beautiful earth that God created. It's awesome. And we have the ability to be here until he comes. So he has ruling power. Luke 3:16, he has baptizing power. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, every now and then we need some fire in our lives. Fire is good. It keeps you warm. It cooks your food. It sterilizes, it cleanses, it purifies. You know, even, see, we're like precious metal. And when it's dug up from the earth, it's got all this stuff on it. And it needs to be purified. So God puts it through the fire, but it doesn't harm it. When the fire's done, it makes it brighter. It removes the dross. It refines us. So there are times when we need the fire of God to refine us, to purify us, to illuminate our way. We need some fire in our bones. There's not enough people in the body of Christ, it seems like, with fire in their bones. People are getting more and more away from the fire. They want synthetic heat. Talking about man-made, not God-made. There's a difference between God's fire. You know, God's fire can burn a bush but not consume it. God's fire can fall from heaven on false prophets. God's fire can do amazing things. We need the fire of God. Amen? So he has baptizing power. Luke 4:14, he has spiritual power. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Did you know that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body? That word quicken means to make alive. Right now, the Holy Spirit is making alive our bodies. Oh yeah, our old man is perishing, yes, but our new man is being renewed day by day. Listen, the real you is not the outside. The real you is the inside. You're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. The body is just your house. How many know John Messimer? You know, he came in the wheelchair. He just went to heaven this past week on November 28th. I went to his viewing today. You know what he's doing now? He's walking. in heaven. Yep, his family said he was ready to go. And he knows where he is. I know where he is. Amen? He came here when he could. I went to visit him when I could. We had great conversations. All right? Luke 8:25. He has supernatural power over nature. That means wind, waves, and fig trees obey him. He can speak to wind and cause it to cease. He can speak to waves and command peace, and they'll be like, "Yes, sir." And when he speaks, they listen. Because he has supernatural power. It's over and above natural things. You know, when we were coming home from Illinois, Josiah and I, after visiting with my parents, it was raining in spots. And I would keep saying, "Rain, you need to stop in Jesus' name," and then travel a couple miles, then it would be clear. Then the rain would start up again. I'd say, "Rain, you need to stop," then it would be clear. We had pockets like that going back and forth. But see, why does God have this power? He has this power so you and I can use it. It's not just like, "Oh, God has all this power." No, it's actual practical power for you and I to use on this earth. And that's why there are times when he wants to impart to us. There's sometimes things are better caught than taught. Sometimes you just have to receive a touch. You can't be taught the touch. You got to receive a touch. God wants to touch you tonight. He wants his power to go in. He said, "Oh, I don't believe in that transfer stuff." Really? What happened with the woman with the issue of blood? Did something transfer from him to her when she touched him in faith? Jesus testified. Now, I know he doesn't lie. He said, "Virtue went out of my body." Where did it go? It went into her. How'd it get there? She touched him. A transfer occurred through a touch. How do people get filled with the Holy Ghost? They have hands laid on them. What happens? Something gets transferred. They get the ability to speak in tongues that they've never studied or learned. Whew. Acts 10:38. Oh my goodness. He has wonder-working, doing good, and healing power. How Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all those who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He has wonder-working, doing good, and healing power. Hallelujah. That power is for his body. You and I are his body. He wants his body strong. He wants his body glory. Listen, he's coming back for a glorious church. He's not coming back for a broken down church, a powerless church, a sad church, a depressed church. He's coming back for a joyful church. And if you're rejoicing wasn't good enough, do it again. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why do you have to say it twice? Because sometimes we need more practice rejoicing. We're really good at complaining, but we're not so good at rejoicing. You know, God wants you free. He wants your rejoicing to be free, spontaneous. I heard one minister say, God spoke to him and he said, the Israelites that I delivered from Egypt, he said, they were an expressive bunch. I mean, when they were sad, they would tear their clothes and pour ashes on their head. When they partied for days. Right? They were an expressive bunch. Philippians 4:13. He has strengthening power. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What can you do with Christ's strength? What can you do with Christ's strength? How many things? Would that include taking a test? Would that include doing a new job? Would that include stepping out into the unknown? All things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All right, Romans 1:5. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations. Did you know that through Christ you received grace, and grace will help you obey, it'll help you be a disciple, and it's good for all nations. Why does God give us grace? He gives us grace so that we can obey. See, grace is more than just favor. Grace is His ability, His power, His goodness, His nature. He gives us the grace, and the grace then works in us. We need to take God's grace and obey. We need to take God's grace and be a disciple. You know, the Bible does say, don't take the grace of God in vain. What are we doing with God's grace? God's grace did not come on us for nothing. God's grace does not come on us to not serve or to not do anything in the kingdom. God's grace comes on us, its power working in us so that it makes us effective in helping people. Verse 6. Among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? You are called by Jesus, you're called to Him, and you're called to belong to Him. Jesus chose you to be on His team, and He did not choose you last. He chose you first. Well, they didn't choose. I'm the last one chosen. No, that's not like how Jesus didn't make you the last one. Listen, He made you the first one. When He was on that cross, you were on His mind. He was thinking about you and I. He was thinking about the fact that we were going to have a relationship with the Father, that the bridge, the gap was going to be bridged. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, do you know the thoughts I think about you, says the Lord? Thoughts to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you an expectant. Listen, I know how many hairs are on your head. That's how much He thinks about you. I mean, can you imagine counting how many hairs I have on my head? God knows how many. I don't have to count how many hairs I have. God knows how many. That's what He thinks about you. He values you. You're more important than a bird. You're more important than a tree. You're more important than a whale. You are God's sons and daughters. He is your Father. You're part of His family. He called you to Himself. He called you by name. Before you were in your mother's womb, He formed you. He knew you. He put His divine DNA in you. He instilled in you a purpose and a plan. He put in you gifts, talents, and abilities. And then He breathed the breath of life into you, and you became a living soul. And God used your parents to bring you here. Verse 7, Romans 1. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Did you know that you're God's beloved? Say, I'm beloved by God. Believers are God's beloved. You're called to be saints. You don't have to die to be a saint. Isn't that good news? I don't have to wait till I'm dead. You're a saint. I'm a saint right now. We're called to be saints right now. Look at someone and say, you're a saint. Now act like one. No, just kidding. Paul, then we get to verse 11, which we read. Paul wanted to give these believers a firm grasp on Jesus Christ, on His love and His power. He had never been to Rome at this point yet. He wanted to impart to them a spiritual gift. Paul never comes to a place empty-handed. He comes ready with spiritual gifts, ready to give to believers. God wants to impart to us. Say, God wants to impart to me a spiritual gift. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. Ephesians 4, 29. It says this: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, I better watch my mouth. What are we supposed to do? Not let corrupt communication come out. Doesn't say the words might come in your mouth, but don't spit them out. Did you know that a thought unspoken dies unborn? You can have a thought that comes to you, say, you ought to go down to that bank and rob it. But if you don't talk about it, if you don't act on it, that thought's going to die unborn. Isn't it? But when you start thinking about it, when you start talking about it, that thought's going to become an action. Okay, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the... That word minister is another word for impart. The word impart, it means to give, to communicate, to inform, to convey. It means to tell. It means to instruct, to divulge. It means to disclose, to reveal, to expose. So when God wants to impart something to you, He wants to communicate to you. He wants to reveal something to you. He wants to give something to you that only He can give. That's what it means to impart. So, God imparts a spiritual gift, God imparts grace, and God imparts the gospel. That it may minister grace, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verses 7 and 8. It says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. They wanted to impart the gospel and their own lives. That's how serious Paul took ministering to people. He just didn't come to share a message, but he actually imparted his life. He shared his life with the people he preached to. He imparted to them the gospel. The gospel is what? The gospel is the power of God. When you hear the message of the gospel, there's God's power contained in it. And when it goes forth out of someone's mouth, then that power is released, ready to be received, ready to be acted on, ready to be done, believed. Can you say amen? See, here are some gifts that God wants to impart to people. He wants to give you a heart to know God. Jeremiah 24:7. He wants to give you a heart to know Him. You can be intimately acquainted. Listen, how well do you want to know God? That's up to you. Okay, God, you can walk with me this far. You know, right? There are many areas that we keep God at bay in. Oh, no, don't go in that area, Lord. No, don't mess with that. Oh, no, don't touch that, Lord. I have that in a special place. Don't mess with it, Lord. Listen, if you want that area holy, then you better let Him mess with it. Otherwise, It's vain. Open up the area. God will give you a heart to know Him. Matthew 11:28, He'll give you rest. How many need rest? You can rest wherever you are. Night or day, here or New Zealand, doesn't matter, you can rest. Why? God is your rest. He said, all those who are heavy laden with burden, come to me and I'll give you what? Rest. Well, how come you're not rested? Maybe you're not coming to Him. Maybe you're trying to rest on your own and you're not coming to Him. See, He is the rest. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. So whoever the Lord of the Sabbath is, you can have a Sabbath. That's why He healed on the Sabbath, just to show that the Sabbath is, I mean, it's where He is. That's what matters. All right. He gives eternal life, John 10:28. What an awesome gift. That's the gift that keeps on giving. That's the unspeakable gift. He gives eternal life. Luke 11:13, He gives His Spirit. Wow, what an incredible gift. Another comforter, a counselor, a standby, an advocate, a strengthener. What a gift. John 4:14, He gives living water. Woo! It's guaranteed to quench every thirst better than Gatorade. Gatorade can't compare to living water. Living water will bring true satisfaction on all three levels of life. He gives to us, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He never gives anything bad. He never gives anything that's not perfect. Good, every, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from Him, comes from above, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variance, no shadow of turning. How many good gifts come from Him? Every. Listen, God never has given anyone anything bad. Matthew 16:19, He gives us the keys to the kingdom. Here you go. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Go have fun. You give me the keys to the kingdom? Yeah, go ahead and take the kingdom out for a spin. He gives the keys to the kingdom. Keys of authority. Keys open doors. And He gives us the keys. Luke 10:19, He gives us power over evil spirits. You have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say, I have power over evil spirits. They don't have power over you. You have power over them. But too many people act like they have power over you. The devil's got me on the run. Stop and squash. If you're running from Him, you're in the wrong place. John 6:51, He gives us heavenly bread. Woo, fresh bread from heaven. Free. It's not $2 a loaf. It's not $3 a loaf. It's free. How many want some bread from heaven? God bakes it fresh every day. Woo. John 14:27, He gives us peace. Peace. Did you know that spiritual gifts produce spiritual fruit? When God imparts to you a spiritual gift, you get love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you're out of control, you need a touch from the Father to get in self-control. Did you know that you have power over yourself? Are we having fun tonight? And the reason He imparts these gifts to us, because He wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be established. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to take the gifts that we have and use them for Him, for His glory. It's not just about getting hands laid on you. It's not about falling down, but what changed? What are you doing with the change that took place on the inside? You know, when you get touched from God, you got to speak it. You got to confess it. You got to profess it. You got to confess it. never forget, in Illinois, when I was still a single man, I was at a tent. A guy had a back brace. You know, it went all around like a shell. That night, he got touched in that tent meeting. That man took off. He must have took about 7 laps around that tent. Okay? Healed. Put his back brace on, wasn't wearing it. Several weeks later, that back brace was back on him because he didn't want to get off of welfare or disability. Seriously, true story. I'm not against disability. I'm not against that at all, because there are times when it's helpful. But when God touches you, He wants more out of us. Amen? He gives us strength to serve Him, to share Jesus with others. Amen? And that guy pretty much lost his healing. Don't lose what God gives you tonight. Walk it out. Work it out. Cry it out. Pray it out. Amen? Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this is for everyone who wants to. You're not obligated to come and impart a gift to you, but it's for everybody who wants it. Amen? God's willing people. If you don't want it, it's okay. But I'll give it to those who want it. And I told the Lord, I said, you gave me this word, so you're going to have to perform it. Amen? I just delivered the message, but He does the heavy lifting. And He will impart to you a spiritual gift. He will impart to you grace. He will impart to you His gospel. Gospel is the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel will enhance your life. It won't take away from your life. It'll increase your life. It'll lengthen your life. It'll make your life better. The gospel. And God made it so easy. Go spell. He spelled it out for us in a book. Amen? So all who want to receive an impartation tonight, I want you to come up right now. What we're going to do is, if it's all full up here, let's just make a line down the middle, okay? When the space opens up and you come in that space. But I want you to come believing you received tonight. Come expecting God to touch you. Come ready to receive. And let God touch you in however He wants to touch you. Amen? Hallelujah.